This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The FBI. Surprise, surprise, they're leaking things again. I have a fun experiment for you. I'll open the show with that. Julie Kelly joins me, Josh Hammer, Terry Schilling. All that's coming up tonight on I'm Right. I love messing with communists. I don't know why. Probably doesn't speak highly of me as a person, but I've been this way since I was a child. If I find somebody I don't like, whether it was a bully, even a teacher I don't like, somebody I really don't like, I have a special knack for bothering them. And that's not a great talent to have, right? That's not a great thing, but I have it. I don't know why you gave it to me, Lord, but I can't help but abuse this power. And so I like to do fun little experiments with various communists. I love to do it, actually. Whenever I'm at some event, normally it's a neighborhood party of some kind. We just had a big cookout in our neighborhood this last weekend. And it's almost all Republicans who show up, but there's a few of these commies who show up. I love playing games with them with a straight face. Here's one I played last weekend. Highly, highly recommend it. That Trump raid on Mar-a-Lago? I want you to do me a favor. Take your crazy aunt on Facebook or your liberal friend or whoever it is, and I want you to do this. I want you to ask them what was found and what do they think should be done to Trump. Here's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you, they found top secret stuff. Trump's got to go to jail. I had a caller in my radio show last night. I'm a moderate Republican. You can't defend this. He's got to go to prison. And as they say it, I don't want you to get mad. I want you to smile. Because here's what's wild. We now have weeks of speculation on what was or what wasn't in the raid in Mar-a-Lago. What was found? Nobody knows. No one knows. They haven't given us any specifics yet. No one on the left knows. No one on the right knows. Nobody knows. And yet, everyone on the left thinks they know. Because instead of getting actual details for what was released to us, we have all these media leaks. The FBI, it's really bad. They put up some picture of the documents laying on a floor on social media. And then they leak to the New York Times and they leak to the Washington Post. Oh, it could be really bad. Oh, it's this. It's more secrets. And now that people have cemented it in their head that he did some horrible felony where nobody knows, now they're just debating it on CNN, just out in the open.
Somebody probably at the Department of Justice has improperly thrown this over the transom to Devlin, and that's it, just as improper as well, and should be condemned.
I also want to bring in...
And it's probably illegal.
Sorry, Judge, go ahead.
Well, just as improper, improper, sure, a leak is improper, but the notion that you want to put the leak in the same category as boxes and boxes...
Well, it's illegal, Your Honor, it's illegal. You wouldn't be condoning illegal behavior.
Right. This is the reason we don't have secret documents in... a beach resort because they get out and people can do things.
Just talking about it as if they know. And what I love about this experiment is you've already seen it on TV. When someone was asked, watch this, someone was asked, what?
Is this unprecedented to arrest a former president for not turning in documents?
A former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, all right, I'm done talking.
I have no idea. You don't have to get mad when you play this game. Have fun playing this game. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, that sounds very serious. Yeah, you're right. He probably should go to prison. For what, though? Well, for crimes. Oh, okay. Which crimes? Classified. And this is, honestly, I laugh, but it's where we are now as a country. Where we are, this goes clear back to my sky is green theory, which I haven't talked about in forever. How many people, what percentage of this country already believe that they know there were crimes committed and Trump has to go to jail, and they have no idea? Nobody does yet. Fascinating. Joining me now, my friend Julie Kelly, the great Julie Kelly, author of the book January 6th. If you want to know how they're using the administrative state to make you an enemy of the state, I would highly recommend reading it. But for our purposes today, Julie, I want to lead with this because I feel like these lawyers who run the media use a lot of words on purpose I don't understand. What's a special master?
I don't even think they understand it, Jesse. All they know is it's their cue for their latest meltdown about Donald Trump. So a special master basically would be an objective third-party referee with apparently some sort of security clearance, top secret security clearance, who will go through the 12,000 plus pieces of paper that the FBI stole from Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago on August 8th, determine what is personal information, what is privileged information, either attorney or executive privileged information documents, and what basically could be used in their ongoing criminal investigation. Now, what's controversial about that, Jesse? Why is everyone melting down over this idea, especially our friends who used to be former federal prosecutors now turned CNN analysts?
Okay, yeah, you know what? We're actually going to get to Bill Barr in just a second. Let's begin with something you just said, though. 12,000 documents? Now, I admit I'm not a lawyer or a judge or an FBI agent, but that doesn't seem very targeted. They really walked away with 12,000 documents?
They did. And 99%, according to the inventory list that was ordered unsealed by Judge Cannon, we never would have known. We would have believed, right, Jesse, that everything they took was classified information. About 1% of the records the FBI stole have some sort of classification markings on them. You know, the ones we saw laid out on the floor that the FBI took a picture of, included in a court filing. 99% are photographs, what they call U.S. government records, but not classified. That's what the subpoena identified or specified that the investigators could take. They took clothing items. They took books. They took his medical records. They took accounting information. This was nothing more than the pillage of Donald Trump's home to try to find incriminating or embarrassing evidence that these investigators in DOJ could then leak to the media, which, of course, they've been doing for years, but now have done numerous times related to this raid.
Julie, okay, yeah, Bill Barr, you made reference to him earlier. He's been all over the TV, well, saying things like this.
And the opinion, I think, was wrong, and I think the government should appeal it. It's deeply flawed in a number of ways. I don't think the appointment of a special master is going to hold up, but even if it does, I don't see it fundamentally changing the trajectory. In other words, I don't think it changes the ball game so much as maybe we'll have a rain delay for a couple of innings. But I think that the fundamental dynamics of the case are set, which is the government has very strong evidence of what it really needs to determine whether charges are appropriate.
Julie, I've seen Bill Barr a bunch on TV saying things like that. I interpret this as simply Bill Barr wanting to be welcomed back in the club, so he's paying his penance and doing all the Hail Marys he needs to do in order to be welcomed back in, and that, of course, includes trashing Trump. But am I wrong?
You're absolutely 100% right. What a disgrace. Bill Barr could have been an American hero by exposing the criminality and corruption of the nation's most powerful law enforcement agency. He knows exactly what happened at this DOJ for years related to Donald Trump. Instead, he caved. He delayed John Durham's investigation into Russiagate. He didn't even appoint him special counsel until October of 2020, 18 months after he named him as the chief investigator into that fraud. He helped bury evidence related to Hunter and Joe Biden. He had to play some role in the Whitmer FedNapping hoax. He did not investigate claims and serious allegations and evidence of fraud in the 2020 election. Instead, less than 30 days later, he runs to the Associated Press and tells them his investigation's over. There's no such thing as widespread massive voter fraud. And so everybody can just move along. What a disgraceful, petty, really sad man. This is how you're going out in your career, groveling to the Beltway punditry so you can, repent for maybe the first year in office when you actually sounded like you were a legitimate attorney general and would actually do what you said you were going to do. Notice, Jesse, he says the ruling is flawed, but he doesn't say how. He doesn't explain what's flawed in Judge Cannon's ruling. And for him to come out and justify and give any legal validity to what's happening with this raid on Mar-a-Lago and this criminal investigation, saying the government has strong evidence, how do you know? Has he seen the strong evidence, or has he just seen the leaks and the cover-ups that are coming out of DOJ? Really disgraceful commentary from Bill Barr, and really embarrassing conduct from him.
Julie, a couple things. One, I keep hearing possibly classified. You mentioned classified markings. And I don't want to speak out of turn here, but Donald Trump was president of the United States. Doesn't Donald Trump get to declassify anything he wants? Isn't he the top man? Can't he point to literally anything with any classification marking on it and say, no longer classified?
I believe that that's true. There are legal experts who are not Bill Barr or Andrew Weissman or any of these other clowns saying that. So when a document is declassified, it's not like there's a big stamp that comes out and says declassified, right? I mean, it just is declassified. And so that is what people like Mike Davis at the Article 3 Project, I think, have made strong arguments based on case law and recent case law that he can declassify anything. He is the commander in chief, and these were actions that he took in his final days of office. So this whole idea of classification markings, that's vague enough, but are they legitimately classified? Is it illegal for him to have them? Or did he declassify them? They still have some sort of classification markings on them. We don't know. But this is why the DOJ and the media, people like Bill Barr, are desperate to keep this trove out of the hands of a third party. This should raise a lot more suspicions about what we're actually being told as to what looks like another witch hunt, another corrupt move by this DOJ to try to take out Donald Trump.
Julie, speaking of corruption, I can't let you go until I ask about this Michigan case where the FBI planned, plotted, funded the assassination and kidnapping attempt of a governor and then pinned in on a couple of meatheads living in a vacuum rental place or something like that. There's new developments when it comes to the jury. What's going on?
Well, Jesse, I want to thank you for bringing that up, because even the media on our side has completely just ignored this story after the guilty verdicts. What the defense counsel has done, they've conducted an investigation into possible jury misconduct. This came up during the second trial. The judge refused to remove this juror who was suspected of already having bias, telling coworkers that he hoped he would get on the jury so he could find these men guilty. Of course, they were found guilty, unlike what happened in the April trial. So what changed? Apparently, they've conducted an investigation. They want something called a Remmer hearing, which will determine, which will vet this investigation into this jury's misconduct or possible influence. But something really nefarious happened, Jesse, in the second trial versus the first trial. Not just potential jury tampering or jury misconduct, but also egregious behavior by this federal judge who threw his entire body, not his thumb, his entire body on the scale to help the government and sabotage the defense counsel's case. So this is far from over. And even if the judge doesn't grant a new case based on jury misconduct in December after the two men are sentenced, I fully expect to see an appeal filed by these two defense attorneys.
Julie, stay on it. Thanks for keeping us informed. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Oh, we still have so much show. We still have so much show for you. But first, we're going to talk about even the CIA director thinks you're the enemy of the people. That seems like it's a big deal, doesn't it? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, let me make you more comfortable. You ready to have more energy? You know, I got an email from a 61-year-old man who told me he's losing belly fat. Fellas, are you losing belly fat now that you're getting older? 61-year-old man is. He takes Chalk every day. He takes a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. Not chemical, medical filth. Not big pharma. I'm not sending you to Pfizer. I'm talking about nature. Natural herbal supplements from a hardcore anti-communist company. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days, fellas. How's that sound? Think you might enjoy that? Ladies? They have a female vitality stack. You struggling to lose some weight? Lethargic, lacking energy? Female vitality stack. Again, all natural, herbal supplements. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, get you 30% off the entire store. They have tons of stuff there. They have so much more than just that. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Have you downloaded the President's Daily Brief yet? I subscribe to it, highly recommend it. 20 minutes. Every episode, less than 20 minutes. It's my prep on the way to work, part of how I get boned up on the news of the day. My buddy Brian Dean Wright, former CIA ops, breaking things down for you in a way that even I can understand. And he's joining me now. Brian, is the CIA, are they joining the FBI in this quest to make you and me enemies of the people here?
Well, oh dear, you know, which example are we going to point to? Because there are a whole bunch of them, right? These days, as we look at D.C. and all the crazy shenanigans that some of our former leaders are doing, it certainly makes us probably want to stand up to the federal government, including the FBI and the CIA. Yeah.
Okay. In all seriousness, we have Michael Hayden, who's now become a complete communist quack on there. He's not the only former CIA guy to come out and really sound like a partisan political operative. I've never been within the walls of the CIA like you have. I wasn't near smart enough. Is there a hardcore Democrat activist group in there? Are they all hardcore Democrats? Because I know some of the CIA ops guys, and they're not that way, not the ones I've known.
Yeah, look, culturally speaking, most of the lefties, if I can be candid with you, tend to be the analysts, the folks who send in the analytical components. The operators, we tend to be a bit more hard-edged, or I would say realist. We've been out in the world and we've been punched around and we know how the world works. But what you're reflecting, this General Hayden fellow, who's basically saying that Republicans in this country are no better than, in fact, they're worse than Al-Qaeda, right? I mean, this is an absolutely radical statement that anybody in America would be shamed to make. But here we have a former CIA director who knows better, comparing Republicans, over 70 million people, to a group of radical Islamic terrorists, people who fly planes into our buildings, kill thousands of our citizens, that those folks are somehow even better than Republicans? Come on. So it shows you the degree of hysteria and radicalization that has happened within some of these former leaders who happen to be Democrats or pushing the Democrat agenda. And they know that what they're doing, by the way, they're creating that hysteria for power. Well, you end up creating that hysteria, you lose control over it, friend, and that ends up with violence. So he's playing a very, very dangerous game here.
He certainly is, Brian, and I've talked about this a lot. I'm not as much worried what Michael Hayden says now. I'm worried about the current guys who are still there thinking the same thing. I'm worried about the current FBI guys, NSA guys, IRS. I'm worried that people with real power to destroy lives feel exactly the same way. I look at these FBI memos where the Gadsden flag means you're a potential domestic terrorist. There's a lot out there that makes it look like they're already gearing up to make us enemies of the state, and I don't think I'm overstating that.
Look, I think that you are pointing out the obvious, which is to say that you've got guys like Hayden, James Comey, Brennan, former CIA director. They're all sort of prepping the battlefield, right? Creating this kind of intellectual space of, hey, actually, it's okay to say these absolutely crazy things about half of the country, and that they're not even people. They're worse than terrorists. They're animals. I mean, this is the rhetoric that we're hearing. And so it ends up creating sort of this intellectual space in the CIA and the FBI and other places within the Department of Justice to start making these ridiculous allegations about the Gadsden flag, or targeting parents that were, going to PTA meetings. That those folks are terrorists. So you were pointing out very real concerns.
All right, Brian, let's get to some good news. You said America's ranchers might have some good news coming to them. Why?
Yeah, and consumers both. All right. So a few years back, ranchers in Nebraska were like, man, we are so frustrated with not getting decent price for our cattle. The guys who are slaughtering our cattle, the wholesale price, that's being sold to, let's say, Walmart and all the rest of the grocery stores out there, they're making a lot of money. But the actual growers and the raisers of cattle, they're not making the cash. Why is that? Well, there are about four slaughterhouses in this country that work through about 85% of the herd. So these cattle guys in Nebraska are like, we got to set up our own shop. We got to put together our own slaughterhouse. Huge proposition, $300+ million to put one of those things together. Well, they got together with the governor of Nebraska. They started brainstorming, and they've done it. Next month, there is a new slaughterhouse opening up, operated by ranchers in Nebraska, North Platte. By the way, a cool city. But you're going to have at least 20 different families from around that area putting through about 1,500 head a day, 800 people employed. So that means two things. Ranchers are going to get more money for what they grow. Second, consumers are going to be closer to their ranchers, the providers of their food, when you go to Walmart of all places. So this is the cool thing. Walmart is investing in this company, sustainable beef, right? So now when you go to Walmart, you're going to be even closer to the people who raise your food, and it's going to be a very good, high-quality cut.
Brian, California is lacking good news right now, from power to fast food. What's going on in California?
Oh, my goodness. Man, this is crazy. So they just passed a law, Governor Newsom signed it, where there's going to be a council, right, of 10, maybe 11 individuals, and they are going to basically run the industry, the fast food industry in California. They're going to decide what the minimum wage should be for fast food workers, the schedules of hours that people can work. You're going to have most of those councilmen appointed by the governor of California. So these are political appointees, none of whom necessarily will have run a business, let alone a fast food enterprise. And now they're basically going to run the whole industry. So it's bonkers, and here's the crazy part. Up to $22 an hour is what the state of California and this bill calls for. So they right now they're earning around $16 an hour. Well, these activists want $22 an hour. That means that people in California, when you go get your burger, you're going to be paying at least 20% more for your food. Now, none of that makes sense. Scary, but here's the craziest part. Other states in this country, particularly Democrat states, are looking at this bill and saying, that's kind of a good idea. I think we should try it here. So as always, sometimes what happens in California happens to the rest of the country. That's why this one really matters for everybody, irrespective of where you live.
Brian, we've talked before about natural gas and the Ukraine-Russia disaster and our natural gas, their natural gas. What's going on in Europe and Asia? Keep us updated on this stuff, because I have a feeling this stuff's coming home.
Yeah, so two things, man. This is a really nasty situation. Let's start here. We've got about, one in six different households in this country struggling to pay their utility bills, can't pay their utility bills, all because the price of natural gas is so high. And that's because Russia is turning off the spigot and has completely to Europe because of this war in Ukraine. So what happens next? Well, Europe right now, their economies, France and Germany, tipping into recession. The rates of electricity that people are paying throughout Europe, we're talking 100 to 185% in places like the UK, right? There was a 70,000 person march in Prague last Saturday, where a country where people were talking about 100+% increase in just 1 month of their utility bill. So imagine if you had to double, triple, quadruple your electricity bill in 1 month. That is a big deal. Your wages aren't keeping up. Plus your wage, that job, when your country, when your economy is going to recession, you're losing it. We're seeing that too. It is a bad deal in Europe right now. And I'll tell you, I would not want to be in Europe this winter because it's going to get real ugly.
Okay, I have to ask a really stupid question, but that sounds good. Well, actually, it sounds terrible, but it sounds good. From the Russian perspective, that sounds good. Screw you, Europe, no more gas for you. But doesn't Russia need to sell them the gas to stay afloat themselves?
No, sir. They are selling so much oil to China and India in particular that they are making hand over fist. And here's the crazy part. They're actually even still selling oil to Europe. Right, so it's being laundered more or less through Malaysia and a country called United Arab Emirates. But even beyond the laundered stuff, where these countries kind of slap their own label on a barrel of oil and say it's theirs, not Russia, the European Union is still buying directly and officially oil from Russia, and they're going to at least for the next couple of months. So it's shocking to me that our friends in Europe have been so foolish as to tie their wagons, economic and otherwise, to Russia, complaining these many months, but still buying oil and natural gas. And oh, by the way, it's also metals, aluminum and other things, steel. They're still buying that from Russia too. So this sanctions thing really is not what it's cracked up to be.
Brian Dean Wright, it is the President's Daily Brief podcast. Go download it. I appreciate you, brother.
You, as always.
All right. Hillary Clinton? Oh, please, not anymore Hillary Clinton. We'll talk about that in just a second. Before we talk about that, let's talk about you and me. You know what I found out yesterday? I found out Tito's Vodka and Jack Daniels are both filthy companies. They're sponsoring a big old drag show in Boise, Idaho. I have Tito's Vodka in my house as we speak. I don't have any Jack, but that's not exactly something I don't purchase, right? I need to be better. You need to be better. We all need to be better as we're surrounded by all these companies throwing in with the cultural filth. But how do we get better? I didn't know. I found out yesterday. Pick up your phone. Download Public SQ. It's right there in your app store. Doesn't matter what you have, Apple, Android, whatever you have. Public SQ. It will tell you the businesses that share your values. It will tell you where to spend your money, what goods and services, what can you buy that furthers your values instead of crushes them. Let's avoid the Tito's Vodka. Go download Public SQ, see what they have to say. We'll be back. I have some sad news. Well, I guess it depends on who you are. You may not consider it sad. I consider it sad. You see, I know you're going to get mad at me for this. It's fine. I got to be honest with you. Don't I owe you honesty? I miss the Clintons. And let me clarify. I miss Bill and Hillary because they were great bad guys. That movie you love, your favorite book, you know what it has? It has a great bad guy. Why do you like the movie Gladiator? Is it because of Russell Crowe and Romans and good sword fights? All that stuff helps. No. They had a great bad guy in that movie. A guy you hated. You hated him. You wanted him to die. Kill him. Get him, Maximus. The Clintons are such scummy bad guys. And they're out in the open with it. Just a horribly corrupt family. I know people from politics in Arkansas, just people who do politics there. They were always horribly corrupt and scummy while they were there, rose up to be governor, and then went to presidency, and were just openly scummy there too. And remember Hillary Clinton? After Bill leaves, she becomes Barack Obama's Secretary of State, and as she's Secretary of the State, she's running around the world handing out tax money to this country and that country while the Clinton Foundation's taking huge donations from the country. Just the most scummy people in the world. I love it. So, it made me sad when I found out she's not running.
Would you ever run for president again?
No.
Dang it. Come back, Hillary. We need that kind of naked corruption. This Barack Obama, Joe Biden, full-blown communist, just demonic evil stuff, it's not near as much fun as old Slick Willie palling around with Monica when the lights go out. Dang it, I miss him. All right. You know what? We're moving off. Let's talk to Josh Hammer and Terry Schilling about that in a moment. First, let's talk about you. Let's talk about things you do to prepare. You know, my wife makes fun of me. I know you're going to find that surprising, but when I buy a new box of ammunition, she makes fun of me. I'll never forget the day she opened up a package that was delivered for me, and I have a bunch of those purification drinking straws in there where you can basically walk up to a mud puddle, run it through there, clean drinking water. She likes to roll her eyes. You know, she doesn't roll her eyes quite as much anymore as things go to crap all around us. Weird, I didn't get the eye roll when I got gold coins from Oxford Gold Group delivered to the house. Gold coins, you know, the kind that will allow you to buy goods and services no matter what. If the apocalypse happens, you'll be able to buy goods and services with gold coins, and Oxford Gold Group makes it easy. They're super laid back. They deliver them to your front door. You don't have to do anything drastic. Whatever you can do, get something. Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They will take special care of you, I promise. I sent my own father there. That's how much I love these guys. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Ron DeSantis.
Today, we deliver for the people of Florida yet again.
You saved our jobs.
And kept us going.
They tried to shut us down, but you saved our business.
$1,000 bonuses.
You had our backs.
And honored our service.
You led by facts, not fear.
And you let us decide.
You let me go to school.
You gave me a voice.
You put us first.
And didn't let them keep us apart.
You let us learn.
You let us compete.
All of us.
You protected our right to worship together in person.
And you raised our pay.
You protected our waters.
And kept Florida beautiful.
When they attacked you, you didn't cave.
You stood strong for Florida.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Governor.
Gracias, Gobernador DeSantis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Governor DeSantis.
I said it yesterday, and it's so true. It must feel great running for governor, knowing you're going to win, and you just spend a fortune on an ad like that that's just spiking a football in your opponent's face. Gosh, that would be fun. Joining me now, my friend Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project, and my other buddy, Josh Hammer, host of the Josh Hammer Show. He's also an opinion editor at Newsweek. We're not going to judge him for that. Okay, Josh, you're also a Florida resident now. How is it living in Florida under such a tyrant?
Well, Jesse, it's full fascism, as you know, here. It's truly terrible. It's truly authoritarian. No, look, I mean, that ad was really incredible. I mean, I watched that ad. I kind of just grinned ear to ear. I mean, that's my governor. That's my guy. I mean, that is a future president of the United States right there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just a matter of when he becomes a president of the United States at some future date. It was really one of the probably best political ads that I personally think I've ever seen. I mean, when I tweeted it out, as of now, I think it has like 9,000 retweets, like 45,000 likes. So don't take it from me or you. I mean, the people out there seem to love this ad. And the reason I think that the ad resonates so much is because, first of all, you have such a cross spectrum of Floridians there. You got the golfers, you got the guy going to church, the children going to school. It's really just a beautiful cross spectrum of the Florida citizenry, but you can just see the sincerity. I mean, these people are genuinely thankful that their lives were not just completely locked down, that they didn't lose a year and a half, 2 years of their lives to Fauci-ism and the lockdown vax mandate insanity. So it's a wonderful, wonderful ad, and you know, we'll see what happens this fall. But like you said, it's just a question of how big his winning margin is.
Terry, no secret Heavy D is going to win the governorship. Everyone's talking about Heavy D versus Trump. Heavy D versus Trump. Does he get in? Does he not get in? Should he get in? Should he not get in? I've made my opinion well known. I want everyone to get in, go beat each other up, and go earn my vote. What's Terry Schilling say?
I think it's hard for DeSantis to not run after his career and after his record as governor. He's obviously the best governor in the country, possibly in the last century, right? And that ad says it all. He is addressing all of the major concerns, all the major problems that not just Floridians are worried about, but that Americans have been dealing with over the last, you know, 5-6 years. He's a rock star governor. It would be a shame if he did not run for president. We need his voice out there.
Josh, what say you? Should he?
Yeah, Jesse, I'm on record as saying that I would support Ron DeSantis as president in 2024. That's my public position. You know, obviously he and Trump would go head to head. It would, you know, the fisticuffs would go sparring. I don't necessarily look forward to that because I obviously have a lot of respect for former President Trump as well. And I think he has just been grossly mistreated ever since the Carter Page stuff going back to the 2016 election. But look, for what my money is worth, I think Ron DeSantis is a generational figure. I mean, that guy knows how to lead. He picks all the right fights and he wins those fights. And he wins those fights in a purple state, or at least what historically was a purple state, trending obviously in a very red direction. I see that every day living here in Miami-Dade County, but I personally would support Ron DeSantis as president. I know as of right now, he is personally just focused on winning his governor race, as he should. But look, I have no particular inside information, but I find it hard to believe personally that he would not run for 2024, given all the momentum that he has right now, his massive war chest. All signs do seem to be pointing towards that.
Just and focusing Jesse, I on his governor's race. Hold on, Terry. That's hilarious. Just focusing on his governor's race. Sell that somewhere else, Josh. This guy's running for president. Terry, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, Josh made a great point about how DeSantis is in a purple state, right? We're seeing what his policies have, like the impact that they have. When these red state governors govern as a red state governor and actually deliver results based on what the conservatives, what Americans really want, they turn their states red, right? You're seeing the exact opposite happen in Texas, where Greg Abbott is falling way short of Ron DeSantis, right? That state is now trending purple because it's been weak leadership. When you actually deliver on the results that Americans and what voters want, you start to turn your state more red. They see what Republicans can do. That's the biggest hangup with Republicans, is they never deliver and actually oppose the Democrats' radical and harmful and evil agenda.
Okay, Terry, then answer me this. Why? Because I'm a Texas resident. I've been very frustrated with how useless and limp-wristed Greg Abbott has been. But I don't understand why. You're sitting here in this red state. You got all kinds of people like me who want you to be Heavy D. You can see what Heavy D's doing. You see his popularity. You don't want popularity? Why can't they do it?
It's because the Republican Party is still too much controlled by corporate interests, right? That's the difference between Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott. What corporation has Governor Abbott taken on in Texas? None. You can't name one. Right. But Governor DeSantis has taken on basically any corporation that opposes his agenda for Floridians, including probably the most popular and what we thought was the most untouchable corporation, the Walt Disney Corporation. right? This is the difference. It's a Republican Party either controlled by the American people or a Republican Party controlled by corporate special interests.
Josh, Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, they hate each other, obviously. Clearly, this is going to be something that's, it's going to be part of the dialogue publicly now for years as Trump gears up to run. McConnell hates him. Trump's not exactly going to hold back. What do you make of this?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I think the rivalry is a little overstated. I mean, you know, let's recall, they actually did work very closely together to push through a lot of legislative accomplishments in Trump's 4 years. Mitch McConnell obviously helped Trump confirm, you know, scores of federal appeals judges, one of whom I had the pleasure of clerking for. They got through 3 Supreme Court justices in 4 years, which is pretty historically unprecedented. So they actually were able to work closely together. So I honestly think a lot of this drama, you know, it's kind of just egos that, you know, egos clash. I mean, when people in politics have big personalities, Jesse, I don't need to be the one to tell you that. When you have big egos, then you're necessarily going to clash. But I honestly, I don't see this being a huge deal as far as a prospective 2024 primary is concerned. I find it hard to believe that, you know, if Trump and DeSantis end up running against one another, I don't think Mitch McConnell is going to put his thumb on the scale in that primary. I find that almost impossible to.
Oh, okay. One, I hope you're not accusing me of having a big ego, Josh. The
Oracle I would never do
doesn't
such a
have thing. A big ego. Yes. No. All right. The whole youth, just switching gears here, I want to ask Terry something specifically. The whole youth puberty blocker, gender filth. Here's the latest video from Libs of TikTok.
Puberty blockers are used once puberty has started, but not when you're too far along. And what they do is they just pause your puberty where it's at. And that gives you time to further explore your gender identity without the extra pressure of developing in a gender in which you might not feel comfortable. And then if you continue those puberty blockers long enough, then you can start replacement therapy with the gender identity hormone of your choice when you reach usually around 15 or so, or once you've been on that puberty blocker for at least a couple of years. Hope that answers your question.
Terry, I don't want a right-wing dictator in the United States of America. I think that would be a terrible turn of events for this country. However, if my choices are allow that to continue or have a right-wing dictator, I know what I'm choosing, and I'm not alone. How do we stop that so we don't get Pinochet here?
Well, what we have to do is we have to get Republicans to actually deliver on banning this type of stuff. When she says puberty blockers, what she really is referring to is a drug known as Lupron. This is a drug that's been used time and time again throughout the last century to chemically castrate sex offenders. This is a sex offender castration drug that we're giving to little children. And by the way, it's all BS to get that it's about to give children more time to make it their decision. Puberty introduces incredible amounts of hormones like testosterone, estrogen that actually develop your brain so that you can actually make better decisions. So when you delay puberty, you're actually keeping them as children. And we all know that children can't consent to this type of stuff. They can't make their own decisions. That's why we don't let them make major financial decisions or anything else, especially regarding sex changes. So we just need if Republicans really want to keep any type of dictators out of office, they need to start addressing these concerns legitimately, because this stuff is totally illegal. It's totally unconstitutional. It's probably one of the greatest crimes against humanity we've ever seen.
Josh, Terry, appreciate you, boys.
Anytime, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We're going to laugh at Corinne Diversity Hire next. That's always a good time, right? Always a good time before we get to that. Do you have your Eden Pure thunderstorms yet? You know, I have 3 in my house and 3 here in the studio. My producers all have them now, too. Everyone I know goes out and buys them. Why? Because they walk into my home or here in the studio and they say, it smells clean. And I don't mean like cleaning solution. This thing kills the viruses and mold in your air. There's no filter to replace. It's just a little black box that goes right in the outlet. You hardly know it's there. It doesn't even really make any noise. But it's constantly cleaning your air. I don't even have allergies anymore thanks to these things. They're friggin' miracles. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. EdenPureDeals.com. They have a code that'll save you $200 off a 3-pack. The code? Jesse. You may have guessed that. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse. Go now. It's fun to laugh at communists, don't you think? It's one of my favorite things. And it's really fun to laugh at diversity hires, because diversity hiring is just such a disgrace. And don't get me wrong, it's gonna cost us in this society. It has already killed people, will continue to kill people. But when the White House press secretary is a diversity hire and she can't talk, I find that to be hilarious. And just one second, we'll play it for you. Before we get to that, are you stuck in a freaking timeshare that you want out of? You enjoying those annual fees? Some of them have doubled. Special assessments, you never go anymore. You've called, you've emailed, you want out, and what are they telling you? No, sorry, read the fine print, sorry, you can't get out, sorry. Nothing we can do about it, you signed on the dotted line. There's something you can do about it. Stop calling them and start calling Lone Star Transfer. They'll give you a free, no obligation consultation. They'll hear you out. 99% of the people who go with Lone Star get out of their timeshare permanently. They guarantee it in writing and in a specific time frame. They call their shot. Call Lone Star Transfer, 844-310-2646, 844-310-2646. You're not stuck. You're a phone call away. Now, Corinne Diversity Hire, tell us about Nord Stream, the pipeline.
So you've heard us say this, that what we see Russia's doing, and we've been very clear about this, is that they're using energy, they're weaponizing energy, and it's choosing to one of the things that has been out there, to shut down the pipeline of Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 1.
I just got distracted. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.